The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't want it, you don't need it, but you're gonna get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
One guest on the show today, and it's a favorite of all of yours. Doc Walker will be on with me starting in the next segment. The show today is brought to you by our good friends at MyBookie. Football is back. So is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash out system give you options to bet and win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit. Well, you can cash out early and use the funds on another bet or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now. Register for an account. It doesn't cost you anything to sign up for an account. When you're ready to make that first deposit, use my promo code KevinDC to grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code KevinDC to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, you'll get a free chip to use in the MyBookie world-class online casino. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. I was looking at something earlier today. Somebody sent this to me. It was a link to it was a service that put out projections for point spreads for every NFL game this year. And Washington was favored in just 2 of its 17 games as of today, August 16th. They're favored in the opener against Arizona. By the way, at MyBookie right now, they are a 6-point favorite. And then they are a projected 1.5-point favorite over the Bears in their Thursday night Week 5 game. Now, just as a comparison, they did the same thing last year. They actually got some that were close to the actual point spread, but some of them were just so far off. Like, this is a ridiculous exercise to project point spreads for games in November and December. It's impossible. You don't know what these teams are going to be, and you don't know who's going to be available to play. But I give you the biggest whiffs from last year's projections week by week of the 2022 season in terms of point spreads and what they actually were as far as Washington's schedule goes. So their week 3 game against Philadelphia in August was a pick'em game. When we got to week 3, Philly was a 6-point favorite. The Monday night game in Philadelphia that Washington pulled off the big upset in to stop Philadelphia's run at a perfect season, the projected point spread in August was Philly minus 3.5. Philly a 3.5-point favorite. The actual line, Philly went off at minus 11. And so, now, there were some that were really close. The San Francisco game late in the season, I mean, in August, they predicted that San Francisco would be a 6.5-point favorite over Washington Christmas weekend. And, yeah, that's exactly what it was. The 49ers were 6.5-point favorites. But it's hard to pull this off. By the way, with respect to the Philadelphia point spreads that were so off, remember, this time last year, there were a lot of question marks about Philadelphia. a lot of question marks about Jalen Hurts. This is why, like, you know, from one NFL season to the next, it's just hard. Jalen Hurts was the biggest mystery for Eagles fans and for NFL odds makers. And that's why they were projected as a pick'em in week three at Washington and ended up being a 6-point favorite when, you know, in the first 2 weeks last year, if my memory serves me correctly, I'd have to pull this up, but Philadelphia scored a shitload of points in week one against Detroit last year. It was like 38-35, I think, was the final score. They won 38-35, and then they beat Minnesota on a Monday night 24-7. And already Hurts had thrown in two games, he had thrown for 576 yards and a bunch of touchdowns. So, but going into that season, nobody was sure about Jalen Hurts. Remember, the year before, he had played well primarily as a runner, and Philly had gotten to the postseason, but he laid a big fat egg in the playoff game at Tampa Bay. So, I'm trying to think of really like the comp for Jalen Hurts this year. In some ways, it's Justin Fields, except I think it's Justin Fields. Like, Chicago may make significant improvement this year. Who knows? Maybe they make the playoffs as a wild card team. And Justin Fields, you know, does an incredible job running the football and improves as a passer. Although, then again, Jalen Hurts wasn't even a given to be a starter. Justin Fields is a given to be a starter. I don't know what the comp is for Jalen Hurts going into last year. You know, I don't think it's Daniel Jones, even though Daniel Jones got to the postseason for the first time and won a game. He's been around too long, and that now they've invested in him, so that's a terrible comp. I don't even know what it would be. I don't know that there is a true comp for what Jalen Hurts last year was, which is he's on a really good football team, and he's the biggest question mark. You know, that would there's just no other example. I mean, I guess Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson in terms of veteran quarterbacks that are big mysteries, but you know that there's a big upside there, but you also wonder whether or not they'll get to it. I think I always felt Jalen Hurts had a big upside. Anyway, mybookie.ag, promo code KevinDC. The Ravens are 3-point favorites over Washington on the Monday night football game in the all-important second week of the preseason. That has replaced the all-important third week of the preseason. But I don't even know if the second week's important anymore because it just seems more and more teams are choosing health over getting, you know, game action in an actual game environment. By the way, and I mentioned this earlier on my radio show, and it just kind of occurred to me right before the show started that 2 weeks from today, it will be August 30th. It'll be the day after the cutdown date on August 29th. And if you didn't know this, this year, cutdown happens all at once. You go from 90 to 53 by 4 p.m. August 29th. So 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking about 37 players having been released by Washington. In the past, it was always a couple of cuts before you got to the last one, which was the major one, but it wasn't 37 players. You were typically going from like 75, I think, to 53. It was like the final 22. Something like that. But no, now it's one fell swoop. And I would imagine, and keep in mind, because you've got so much time between the final preseason game and the regular season opening. I mean, it's like 16 days in some cases. You know, there could be a lot of movement and on that cutdown date with players out there. You know, Washington could be busy signing players. I think the cutdown areas that are going to be the most difficult are going to be wide receiver and probably the secondary. You know, those are going to be difficult areas to pick those last, you know, 1 to 2 roster spots in those areas. I mean, you could make the case the secondary is as talented and as deep as any other position group on the team. I was on a radio show in Boston late yesterday. It's a group that calls me every single year to preview Washington's upcoming season. And they, like everybody nationally, they emphasize how great the defensive line looks from, you know, from their seat because of all of the first round, you know, numbers next to names, Sweat and Allen and Payne and then Young. Lots of questions, by the way, about Chase Young. And I said, it may be the best frontline starter unit on the team, but if you include depth, it's probably the secondary at this point, or wide receiver, one of the two. But 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking about 37 players being released and maybe Washington being busy looking for help in the areas where they need help, like offensive line. The opportunity for all of you to rate and review the show is there, even right now. If you want to pause it and subscribe to the show, that's important. Follow us. That's important. Apple allows you to follow us in the upper right-hand corner of the Apple Podcast screen. Spotify, it's down the left-hand side. Following us is a big deal. Subscribing to the podcast is a big deal. And rating and reviewing us is always appreciated. We've gotten so many good ratings and reviews. This one, real simple. I mean, this is what Snow20 said to us. Best DC sports podcast. Kevin and Tom are the best. 5 stars. That's really all we're looking for. Now, some of you have really taken the opportunity to express your appreciation for the podcast. And every once in a while, we get those of you who have a lot of recommendations on how to improve the show. And by the way, I read those too. But this one comes from Sean. Sean writes, first time, long time. I was devastated when Kevin went off the air on 980 a few years back. 5 years ago. 5 years ago, almost to the day, Urban One had acquired the station from Red Zebra. And by the way, Dan's Red Zebra group got a great deal on the station. Urban One was a big, and still is, a huge radio company. And they acquired 980. They had never acquired a sports talk station. They didn't know anything about talk radio or sports talk radio. But they were based here, and they wanted the opportunity to kind of learn. Well, you know, I've told this story many times. They wanted me back, but they wanted me back at a 40% compensation discount, and I wasn't going to be working with Cooley anymore. And so I told them no. Thanks, but no thanks. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it forced me to launch this podcast 5 years ago. Now, it wasn't exactly 5 years ago because it was early September, right before the first Alex Smith home game, road game against Arizona, the season opener. Adrian Peterson, Alex Smith, they go to Arizona, they win 24-6. And I launched the podcast that week leading up to that game with the help, by the way, of Tony and Mark Stern. They were tremendously helpful. And Tony was really the biggest advocate for me to do this. I mean, he was the biggest. He's like, you have to do this. This is something that is, it'll work. It'll work for you. You've got an audience, et cetera, et cetera. So that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I didn't feel it in the moment, to be honest with you. I was concerned. You know, I just couldn't. People were taking pay cuts, don't get me wrong, but they not only wanted me to take a significant pay cut, they took Cooley from the show, which I told them, I'm like, this is a bad idea. If actual audience and revenue generation is part of what you want, you know, to come out of this purchase, you know, I think you should leave Cooley and I together. And we were, I mean, the show that we had together generated really good revenue for Red Zebra, really good revenue. But anyway, 5 years ago, launched the podcast, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Now, 9 months later, they came back and said, we want you back. And so it was about a year, I guess it was like 11 months of being off radio. Yeah, back in 2018, 5 years ago. But anyway, Sean writes, I was devastated when Kevin went off the air on 980 a few years back. I'm grateful he's back on the air, even more grateful for the podcast, especially because, as a bonus, we get the Sports Fix 2.0 with Tom. One of my favorite episodes from the past year was when, in a single episode, they covered archery, UFOs, the Kansas City Chiefs' run to the World Cup, and people getting thrown into wood chippers in Cumberland. Thank you, Sean. And Sean went on to write a lot more. He did say, he made one constructive criticism, and I'll read it to you. He said, I know you love when we program the show for you. He said, to the very loud and annoying minority of the Harvest Feast crowd, it's clear you love dunking on them. Who doesn't? But I think sometimes the content is directed at them too much instead of us norms, i.e. going a bit over the top about how nobody wanted Bieniemy. I can only imagine what they put you through, LOL. Look, every day is a new day, and trying to come up with what to talk about. Some days are truly easy. Those days start, by the way, in about 3 weeks. The beginning of football season through really the NFL draft is the easy time of the year to do a show like this. And then, you know, June, although I love the NBA, May and June. But, you know, July and August are typically, you know, the months where, you know, it takes a lot of sometimes creativity at the beginning of a day or the night before, because there isn't the obvious. But I think the Bieniemy thing, I just don't understand, and I don't think it's even the Harvest Feast crowd only. I think a lot of people everywhere, here and nationally, think that Washington really got themselves an absolute steal in Eric Bieniemy, and they may have. But again, my point, Sean, is that they didn't have to fight anybody for him. But anyway, Sean finished up his review with, as Zabe says, let's go have ourselves a season. First time reaching out, longtime listener, Sean M. Yeah, Zabe's favorite saying this time of year as we got ready for the regular season each year was, hey, it doesn't look that great, but let's go have ourselves a season anyway. This one, to me, looks really interesting. It does. Please rate us and review us if you have a moment to do so. And following us and subscribing is big for us as well. So how quickly is new ownership paying off for this franchise? Well, this afternoon, the team announced a new partnership with Verizon that will improve the experience for fans at FedEx Field starting in 2024. Verizon named the official 5G network of the Washington Commanders. Verizon is the first corporate partner to sign on with the Commanders since the sale of the team was finalized last month. Verizon's Chris Flood, the Atlantic North Market president for Verizon, said, quote, as a new corporate partner supporting the Washington Commanders, we look forward to providing technology solutions that will improve the experience for fans on and off the field and ensure reliable communications for game day operations and personnel. This is an exciting new chapter in Commanders history, and we are excited to be a part of it in a big way, closed quote. Very rarely, if ever, in the past, have we read press releases and now announcing corporate partnerships. But Verizon, the first official corporate sponsor to sign on since the change in ownership. And this is, you know, been something that's been missing in recent years. You know, we've talked about the ancillary revenue after the media, you know, 1/32nd cut that Washington gets, which is the same cut the other 31 teams get. You know, that ensures that the league and every single team in it will be viable forever, as long as that media money continues to be there and there's no sign of it slowing down. It's only been going up. In the other bucket of revenue, you know, ticket sales, then game day, you know, revenue from concessions and parking, and then corporate sponsorships, etc. Washington's been near the bottom of the league in recent years. And this is when I've said before, Washington and Dan in particular has been, you know, one of the worst earners in the league. That had to just burn him up. I mean, from 20-some years ago being one of the top earners in the league along with the Cowboys, and then there was big separation, remember, between Washington, Dallas, and whoever or whomever number three was. They had become a bottom-of-the-barrel earner in the league. And part of the Josh Harris business plan that he sent out when he was raising money and trying to find, you know, co-investors to buy the team was that once Dan was gone, all of a sudden revenue floodgates would open up. And this is an example of one of those revenue streams that's, you know, kind of had the gate closed for a few years. And now it probably won't be, at least for the time being. So good for them. Anyway, there was some football again today up in Baltimore, day two of the joint practices between the Ravens and the Commanders. I wanted to go back real quickly to yesterday because I missed this quote. I saw it this morning. Marlon Humphrey, the corner for Baltimore, said about Sam Howell, quote, "He looked really comfortable. He's a second-year guy, but he looked comfortable back at quarterback," closed quote. Marlon Humphrey, by the way, got hurt yesterday. He's going to be out for a while. But that was, you know, that kind of fits with what we've seen in the preseason game and what people have seen with Sam Howell out at training camp. He really seems to be comfortable with everything. It's one of the pieces to my game take the other night is the poise, calm. He just kind of looked the part, which leads me to really the newsworthy item of day two of the joint practices. It's not really that newsworthy to me, but it made headlines earlier today. Ron Rivera was asked about whether or not he was ready to name a starting quarterback yet, and he said he isn't ready to name a starting quarterback quite yet. Ben Standig had some information on that. He tweeted out the following about Ron Rivera's comments. He wrote, quote, "Ron Rivera said he isn't ready to name anyone the starting quarterback, but Rivera said he would speak with Eric Bieniemy and QB coach Tavita Pritchard once the team returns home. I'd imagine we'd hear the obvious news no later than post-game Monday, if not by Friday's practice." Keim had, you know, basically the same thing that Ben had. Keim wrote, quote, "Rivera declined to officially name Howell as the starter for the season. However, they'll meet over the next 2 days. Could lead to a formal announcement on Friday. Howell hasn't done anything to lose the job, but these 2 days were key. Go back, analyze, discuss, and proceed." From James on Twitter, what's Ron trying to pull? Does anybody believe that this has been a competition? I don't get what the hesitancy is to name Sam Howell the starter, as it seems many other teams around the league are doing. You can follow me on Twitter at KevinSheehanDC. Tweet me at KevinSheehanDC. I don't have a big reaction to him waiting on this. You're right. There are other, you know, programs out there. Like Anthony Richardson was apparently floored that Shane Steichen in Indianapolis named him the starting quarterback for the upcoming season the other day. That was supposed to be a legitimate competition between Gardner Minshew and Anthony Richardson. Remember, many people thought Richardson was a prospect that needed a year to sit behind a veteran quarterback. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I guess, you know, on one hand, it's like Ron's opening up about people coming to him to complain about Eric Bieniemy, you know, and it's like he can't tell us the obvious, you know, on August 16th that Sam Howell, who, by the way, he has slapped the QB1 label on many times. Howell's basically had every rep in training camp with the first team. It's not been a legitimate competition. Sam Howell's going to start the season at quarterback. There's no chance that that's not happening unless there's an injury. So, I don't know. I mean, is it a competitive advantage? Not really. I mean, the Cardinals don't think for a second, you know, doing their any sort of level of research about who's taking all of the reps with the ones and who's starting the preseason games. They're not going to think that all of a sudden, after the Bengals preseason game, the Washington's going to name Jacoby Brissett the starter with no first-team reps throughout camp and in the preseason. But it doesn't bother me. It really doesn't bother me that much. It just is. It is odd. The things Ron is willing to kind of offer up versus those things that he thinks maybe I got to keep those things close to the vest. I got to keep those things. I got to play with everybody out there. I got to make them believe. I mean, I guess you could make the case that you don't want to give it and just hand it to Sam Howell, you know, after one preseason game, that the illusion of some sort of competitive, situation for him, or at least the idea that he still has to earn it. You know, Ron did say yesterday that he didn't think the ball was coming out quickly enough. A constructive criticism, I guess, of Sam Howell. But anyway, it doesn't really bother me as much as it does you, James. It really doesn't. Let's get to Doc. We'll do that right after these words from a few of our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get to Doc, let me just mention that this segment of the show is brought to you by the Circa Million and the Circa Survivor Pools in Vegas. The Circa Million is $6 million in guaranteed prizes, $1 million to the winner. Pick five games against the spread every week. If you've got the best record at the end of the year, you will pocket $1 million. But another $5 million in guaranteed prizes, the top 100 pays. The Survivor Pool guarantees $8 million to the winner or winners. A Survivor Pool for most of you, I think most of you know, some of you don't. You pick one team straight up, no point spread every week to win. If that team loses or ties, you're out. But if they win, you keep going. And if you're the last one standing, it could earn you $8 million. $14 million in guaranteed prizes with the Circa Million and Circa Survivor from the Circa Sportsbook and Casino, the biggest and best sportsbook in Vegas. There's no rake. All the extra money goes into the prize pool. Entry deadline September 9th at 2 p.m. That's the Saturday before the first full Sunday of the season. You've got to register in person at the Circa in Vegas, but weekly picks can be made through a proxy from anywhere, and that's how I did it. The Circa Million and the Circa Survivor pools presented by the Circa out in Vegas. Doc Walker jumps on with us. I was in Vegas, by the way, a week and a half ago, as you know. I was there. I met Casey. Casey is one of your favorites, and you are definitely
Absolutely.
One of his favorites.
Absolutely.
He was in, you know, well, he lives in L.A., so he came and met me in Vegas. And I went to the sure. Circa where Tim Murray works and where Aaron works, and they're doing well. And then from there, I went and visited our boy, Christopher Cooley.
Yeah, yeah. Now, did you have any air conditioning where you were at?
You've already talked to Larry, haven't you? You already know that.
I know how he's a nomad. And so I'm saying, when you're in his environment, you got to go play by his rules. And I don't see you as a city slicker being able to deal with them mosquitoes.
Well, here's the thing. They're at 4,000 feet of elevation, so it doesn't get really hot. So the need for air conditioning isn't that great. And yeah, there are a lot of flies, but there aren't a lot of mosquitoes. Mosquitoes weren't the problem. But you're right. They live... He's an outdoorsman, Doc.
He's a nomad. I know.
You know?
He is who he is, and that's what makes him authentic. But you, in his environment, I just didn't see that working. Well, I didn't know how that fit. I mean, it was like, okay, let me see how you survive this.
Well, so I wanted, the reason I wanted to get to this is, this isn't totally me, but I've done a lot of this stuff, and my father's very much an outdoorsman and a big fly trout fisherman. And
yeah, I'm sure his father was too.
And my brother-in-law and my father-in-law, they're big hunters. It's not been my thing over the years as an adult, but I'm somewhat familiar with it. But I'm going to tell you right now, when we got out for one of these fishing expeditions, we parked about a half mile away from the river that he wanted to go fish. And this is his hometown. He knows every nook and cranny of every river, every mountain, the whole thing. But, he gets out of the car and he's loading up his 10 millimeter pistol and he's looking for the bear spray for me. He's like, and I'm like, well, what's going on here? And he said, well, this area is the highest concentration of grizzly bears in the entire state of Wyoming.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, so you've got the pistol. What do I do with the bear spray? And he said, well, you'd spray it at the bear. And he said, now, a lot of the attacks, and there aren't many of them, but sometimes you don't even see the bear coming. But let me just say, typical of Cooley, I love him dearly, he forgot the bear spray. He left that at home.
Yeah, but all this you knew going in. It's not like he surprised you. I mean, you didn't expect him to have everything he might have needed to have. And you know he's fearless.
Fearless.
I mean, for him, he's absolutely is Daniel Boone. And so it meant nothing to him. What all of us were here waiting was to see, I know you're capable of roughing it, your ideal deal of the rough is with a wedge in your hand. And so in a stretch. So
staying at the Four
Seasons.
Understand.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, but we just all were so confused. Admire you and your friendship to where you would make yourself uncomfortable for a friend. But I just didn't understand it. That's no idea of a vacation to me. It's like you lost a bet and you had to go pay it off. I'm laughing. That shit was so funny. And I'm with Larry. I said, Larry, can you imagine? I mean, what do you really think is going on with Kevin right now? I know he wants to be there and he wants to stand up to his word and do all that. He's got to be miserable.
I wasn't miserable. It was a great time because I'm with Chris, and we always have a good time, just like I always have a good time with you.
Look, Chris would turn being in a concentration camp into a riot. I get that. But we're still saying, here's a country club guy, who's used to having his toast and his tea.
Not true.
And now he's out, quote, roughing it. Man, it was the best laugh we had. Thank you for that, too. And also, thank you for leaving your audience with me for a few days. We had a ball. We had a ball. You're like a principal type. And so everybody kind of is able to kind of let their hair down when you're not around. And I'll tell you what, we had an absolute ball. We're kind of like, it's almost like we're in detention.
I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing.
No, you don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I do.
I'm being honest with you.
No.
And I'll tell you what,
didn't
He had a ball.
He's the best.
Being treated like an equal.
No, stop it.
And
see
really
that? Don't do that, because people actually, some people walk away thinking that Doc's telling everybody Sheehan treats his producers poorly. You name one producer that I haven't been the kindest person to. I'm the easiest person to work for. You were with a group there for a while that was difficult on a producer.
Oh, my God. Okay, you know what? This is your show. So I'm going to stay in my lane, and I'm going to actually be like a guest.
Yeah. Well, the one last thing on the bear thing.
Okay.
When he didn't have the bear spray, what's the chance, if you had been there, which would have been slim and none to begin with?
It would have been impossible.
What's the chance that when he didn't have the bear spray and he was holding the pistol, that you would have gone on a half-mile hike to the river to fish?
Zero. Zero. My son just went up there to climb up the mountain. I said, son, you realize there's mountain lions up in the mountain where you're going up in Utah.
Yeah,
I know. I said, good luck. Look, man, I admire you guys because you're adventurous. See, my idea of adventurous is going to see an R-rated movie. That's it. I've done enough ignorant things in my life. I'm done.
All right.
But I'm glad you made it back. That's the most important thing.
So
when do you leave again? When's your next trip?
Late next week.
Okay, good. All right, good. God, I get to eat. Beautiful.
I do want to just mention one thing, and I don't need you to respond to this. But
okay.
The preseason game last Friday night against the Browns,
yep.
You were missed. I'll leave it at that. All right. So I'm going to ask you something that I talked about a little bit in the open to the show today.
Okay.
Ron Rivera said today that he's not ready to name publicly the starting quarterback, which mm-hmm. I think we all know is Sam Howell. I mean,
right.
He is referred to Sam Howell as the QB1. Sam Howell's taken,
yeah.
I think, almost every single first-team rep in training
yeah.
camp. Do you have a problem with him playing coy on this and holding off on the announcement of Sam Howell as if there's actually legitimately still a competition going on?
No, because I refuse to take any of that bait. I don't focus on anything that any of them say. I'm strictly looking for the results that they can produce. And they lost me as a listener. But I'm a follower. Now I'm waiting to sit on their actions. Doesn't matter what they say. I want to know what they do. And so far, this is the best camp that I've seen since he's been as head coach.
Why?
And so because the pace, because of the guy he hired, which is his, to him, kudos. He brought in a guy that no one wanted to give their whole program over to. He gave half of his over to him. And it's the best move he's made since he took the job. And so I got to give him credit for that. Now, if they can get the results on game day, they've done a lot of good things off the field in the past. What they've not been very good at is, once the game starts, outscoring the opponent. And so I'm just hopeful that all of this will lead to a victory against the Arizona Cardinals.
Tell me what you've seen from Eric Bieniemy that has you so confident that Ron Rivera made the right call.
Because he's taking the pressure off the guys, and he's a bad guy. Not the players. Not the scheme, not anything, not Ron, not anything. He is him. And he took training camp, which is mismanaged across the league board. But our Septembers, from a wagering standpoint, you may have made a fortune. As a diehard enthusiast over victory, my teeth have been smashed. So his formula is just horrendous for September results. So he made a change. Brought in somebody that's completely different than him and anybody else that's been around him. And so that's what was needed. And so now, whether or not they complained, I don't know what they did, if they did or didn't, I don't know any of that. All I know is that when you see them on the field now in Cleveland and in Baltimore, as I've watched them in the scrimmages, there's intent. They're not, if you make a mistake, you've heard it, you've used it as a coach. Make it full speed. The worst thing you can do is show that you were indecisive and go half-assed. You make a mistake 100 miles an hour, you might end up getting lucky. So I like that. And I like the athleticism on the team speed overall. Those are things I like. What I don't like is that I don't know if we block well enough or stop the run well enough to be a champion yet. And so those are things that you have to wait and be patient with. And so that's what I'm watching, what I'm monitoring. I mean, my whole focus and the entire team to me goes across the board, offense, defensive line, period. Period. That's it. Right. And so I have enough question marks within those two units to where they're either going to make or break the season for me. And so that's where my attention is now.
All right. I want to get back to O-line and your concern over the ability to stop the run. But you didn't mention among your concerns quarterbacks. So what have you seen with number 14 that makes you feel comfortable, you know, heading into the regular season, that that's not going to be an area of concern?
Well, both guys are confident. This is the best room of arms we've had since Kirk Cousins departed. So we've got big time throwers. They have guns, they got touch, they can throw. All three of them can throw. And mobile enough, and 14 should beat you with his legs. I don't think Jacoby can do that yet, but that kid can beat you with his legs if need be. I see such an up tempo, quick rhythm, get the ball out your hand, if that or die. They don't have an option. The quick game, anybody could. Ray Charles could see that. They got to have a quick game or no game because they couldn't stop running water right now. And so we're going to, but that could change because you can scheme. The thing he has over his predecessor is that I think you can scheme and help your offensive line, which Turner didn't do to my liking. There's no way Thibodeau is supposed to destroy a game. An undersized guy with speed, just unheard of that one man could devastate you like that and not be LT. That's just poor scheme. They'll do that and they'll get rid of the ball, and they got an athlete at quarterback. So if they give him, and if certain people could, again, stay healthy, Sadiq Charles, Nick Gates, and Stromberg, they got to prove if they can actually play, then we got a chance. What I can't do is I can't stop immediate penetration. I'm dead. But I can work with you on the edge if you're folding chair. I can get around that. I can't get around the fact that if you are the two stiffs they had playing guard last year, there's no way you can do it.
Don't you like Cosme?
You're done. I love Cosme, but he's got to have a reserve because he's not always available. He's got Sadiq Charles syndrome. Is that they're nicked really a lot? The linemen. I mean. And they're not. Nobody gets hurt on purpose. Nobody wants to be hurt. But trends are trends. And I love him. I think he's a Pro Bowl talent at guard. He may be forced back out if I don't see marked improvement or get some help, and whether or not it's Trent Scott, King Ballou, or whether it's Daniels, whomever. I have a term I use when I'm in a chair. It's called we need a hero. And they need a hero on that offensive line. It could be drafted free agent. It could be a guy that was spending the night with a friend of the family. Anybody with good feet and long arms and an attitude. That's what's needed now. And it could very well happen. I haven't seen it yet, but it's possible.
I was really impressed, and I talked about this on the Friday night show after the game and Monday and even yesterday. I thought 23, Rodriguez, looks...
stop it.
What?
Stop it.
You like him
too?
Yeah.
What?
I
beast
mean...
beast mode.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. You have had you on your show recently. This guy... Now, here's where it's a... We're so rich in certain positions. The Nittany Lion and the Buckeye, he's certified. He's like Art Monk to me. If I never mention Terry's name, don't think I'm slighting him. I put him in Monk's category. It's a given with me and Terry. This kid from Penn State.
Well, Dotson.
If we could develop a line that could protect long enough to get into a five-step game, It's absolutely over. You have no chance with this receiver room and the tight end room. They don't have time to get the tight end. They can't. They just don't have enough time. But as they develop and get better, this skills group is silly.
It is.
I am so excited. Now you can't get to them because you can't. There's no way they can execute a 5-7-step drop-back plan with this current offensive line in the state that it's in. That's impossible. But they can work into it, down and distance into it, and they can get better, and maybe we can get to that. It's going to have to be quick game, rollout, move, all that, which Bienemy is a master at. I just can't wait to get him into the regular season because you're not going to see any of his tricks now. But just know this, like the great Joe Gibbs, we showed you nothing in ever.
Never.
Nothing. And that's what they'll do. All the smart ones do it. Only the idiots try to impress people that don't understand the game. They're playing to an audience that just absolutely has no factor on your results. But I'm optimistic as hell. I'm excited about the crowds, anticipating what will happen. I was just at the stadium for a fantasy draft, and
your favorite
thing. Packed, and the place is sold out. It's going to be so. I think they all have all but two suites done. The place is going to be bedlam. Detroit sold out. So this is kind of like the night of the living dead to me. And it's really seeing all this now. It'll be out as quick as a whisper.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's going to be as quick. It'll be out just as quick as you can say that it's in if they lose and somebody gets upset. Now, Detroit won't get spoiled because they're playing the world champions. But if these guys, if the fan base talks the team into thinking they're better than Arizona just by showing up, then all this could be poofed. Or it'll be a platform to week two, and it's going to become bedlam. Because I'm telling you what, this is one of the best atmospheres and anticipation I've been around in a long, long time.
I know.
This is fun. It's exciting.
I can't wait
for
the
fool's goal. Fool's goal.
All right, back to the playmakers. I started with 23, Rodriguez, Kentucky Wildcat, and you immediately went to, you know, Buckeye and Nittany Lion and the playmakers, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think Dotz, if I were ranking the most dangerous playmakers on offense, I think Dotson would be number one for me.
No argument out of me because I'm old enough to have seen and worked with Charlie Joyner.
Mm-hmm.
And the best route runner, obviously. Now, it's Raymond Berry-like, and that's a little old for you, but Raymond Berry.
I remember 18, Joyner. I remember him.
Oh, my God. Charlie Joyner. And when I give this kid that compliment, not only are these some of the nicest young men you'll ever meet, they're legit. There's not a jerk. And for a wide receiver group.
Right.
I'm really on a roll now. This is a great group. They could lead your Sunday school lesson, or they could go out, you take them to the club and concert with you. They're versatile. They're athletic. They can all run. They're all special team, have special teams backgrounds, and they're football players. And I'm telling you, and this is why I just want us to come of age. And it's going to be a process, going to take some time. But we don't have the time we've always farted around with September. We cannot give September away. We got to go take September. And I'm hopeful that what I see will translate into better results.
At Rick Doc Walker on Twitter, Doc's podcast is at patreon.com/Doc Walker. So let me just get to Chris Rodriguez. I love Robinson Jr. Gibson.
Me too.
Gibson's one of my two or three favorite players on the team. In fact, behind Dotson, I think Gibson might be the most dangerous offensive playmaker. But
and he could be outside too.
Yeah, but Rodriguez showed me something, and I saw him at Kentucky.
Powerful dude. You saw him.
But he's got, I think, even quicker feet and better vision than Robinson Jr.
Yeah, he could very, you know, One is, see, it's amazing that if I were to pick the battering ram, I'd pick Robinson as the battering ram, and Rodriguez, he's shaking Bakey too, and run through you. He reminds me of like B. Mitch running style. And Brian's intention was to split you in half. And a lot of guys never want to do that. They want to take a shoulder. Very few guys want to split you, want to bust your vertebrae. And this is how Rodriguez. And I saw the SEC. I'm like, we have some similarities. One, I want to pick my players from the SEC that did not go to Georgia, Alabama, or LSU. I want the guy that had to go against and play six games, because the other guys just play three games a year that they actually have to get a sweat up for. But the guys that have to play seven or eight, and they're undermanned, and they make all SEC, and everybody respects them, that's a football player. And that's the guy I want on my team. That's how you build them. If you notice, our dear friend Spread Smooth, there are more Mississippi State Bulldogs in the league than you can shake a stick at. They ain't won nothing.
So many.
Right. They can't win
on defense, mostly.
They're everywhere. They got players. They got players. You know, but they're not, as a group, have not been able to put it together yet.
Right.
But individually, and who they have to go up against, that's the guys I want. If I'm scouting, like Jimmy Johnson wasn't afraid to go MEAC, SWAC. He shopped it. He built his dynasty off the fact that these other clowns keep hanging around reading Smith and Smith and all them magazines. No, you got to go out and get your sack lunch and go out and scout and find you some canines. And our group here, they're bringing in people. I mean, the best guy in the country is in Dallas. That guy, he hits winner after winner after winner. But we're pretty good. We're pretty good, especially middle rounds.
All right.
And later. We're pretty good.
Tell me why you think stopping the run is – well, just tell me why you're concerned with that particular aspect of what should be a good defense. But why is stopping the run going to be a problem?
Well, until we prove that we can do it consistently, I mean, most people we've played it, they've gutted us, and we're always behind because we don't score enough points, so our defense is at a natural disadvantage. If we flip that and make our opponents chase, that'll change automatically. But until I see that, I can't guarantee that.
Specifically, though, you feel good about the defensive front, right? Is it linebacker that concerns you?
No. I feel feeling good and seeing them do their job versus run are two different animals.
Mm-hmm.
Until they decide to play as a unit, they're never going to reach their potential as a team. You can't freelance. It ain't about you and your stats. It's about gap control.
Mm-hmm. Who are you
and teams that get split or when some guy decides to do his own thing on maybe just one play.
Okay.
And then I like Cody. We got to get a bona fide Dick Butkus-type ass kicker at linebacker. And if a guy can't drive the speed limit, I no longer trust him to develop. So he's got to prove to me that he can pay attention to rules.
He's just a little bit over the speed limit.
Yeah, well, you lost me, Slim.
Yeah.
I was defending you. I was hoping for you. See, a guy that's that undisciplined, I can't put him in charge of calling my defense. He can't even manage his life. No, I got to get somebody, and I got him. I got him. 47. Let me tell you something.
I know. You like Khalik Hudson.
Oh, I love him. I love him. And these guys are around the ball in our safeties. We got a lot of people. They remind me of Alvin Walt. I love Dirty Al because Dirty Al, he would he lived to inflict pain upon people.
He
got off on that.
He'd run in right into a wall head first.
He loved it. And we got guys like that now.
40.
We have got some attack dogs. Our secondary, all of them, they'll knock you out. Even Slim Jim. Man, Slim Jim threw a right left. He threw a combination on the guy that swung at him. He's a bulldog, so I know he's tough. I don't question any of that. All
Emmanuel
we need.
Forbes, yeah.
Yeah, all we need. Yeah, when you explain it to your quote fan base that's so rabid and understands the team, and you got to spell everything out for them every damn show. Yeah, that's really neat.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, you really got a hell of a following.
I'm just making it clear
because sometimes you'll just you'll throw out,
because they should know. Right. You talking about you got the number one fan base in the National Football League. And you got to feed them like they're babies.
Slim Jim is
feeding them pablum.
Slim Jim's a pit bull. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that was Emmanuel Forbes. That's all.
Right, okay. All right. Okay.
In terms of gap control and being disciplined, how's Chase Young doing so far in camp when you've seen him before, you know, getting the stinger the other night?
I don't know. I don't, again, unless it's live, I don't really pay a lot of attention. The drills, I can't evaluate him until a real game. He got hooked on one play, then he was Deacon Jones on the other one, then he was out. So pretty much gives me what he's sensational, then he doesn't give me anything, then he's gone. So I got to have a better sample size. Chase Young can do anything on a football field he decides to make up his mind to do. The question is, will he decide to do it?
All right, two more for Doc Walker.
Okay.
Give me the player or players, because this is your time of year when you find a few of the young pups and they they stand out and you talk them up. Tell me about some of the players that are a little bit off the radar that you've noticed and you're really excited about.
Well, you already know who they are, and when you mentioned that Rodriguez, the back, I love Ridgeway. If he was ever needed a ride at home and got stranded, he could call me. I'd come pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely filthy. I mean, occasional late hit. He plays. He's my kind of guy. Big, flying to the ball, inflicts pain on the opponent. Love him to death. Andre Jones Jr.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
48.
I had good for you. Good for you.
I had
dinner with him.
I remember.
Prior, KJ Henry, the pups.
Yep.
And what I said to him was, I said, you know what? You better be glad Trent Williams is no longer here. Because he would have whooped your ass in practice. He told me. He said, well, keep your eye on me. We'll see him week two. We play him this year. And I knew then that he's my guy. He's my guy. He didn't give a damn who Trent Williams was. And he knew we were going to play him, knew who he was. He don't back down from – I'm telling you, he's a hitman. You remind me of Dexter. I'm always looking for the next Dexter Manley.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the next World Grant. We all do this. Well, you don't. But the rest of us that are beneath you do.
Yeah. I don't play a lot of the comparison games and the hypothetical stuff. That's more your thing.
Yeah, I know it's more me. Yeah. Well, that's what you asked the question. KJ Henry, Andre Jones, Joshua Pryor, Rich. Those are my kind of guys, straight out attack dogs.
Right. The Andre Jones sticks out to me and did the other night because he's not your typical looking defensive end. He's tall.
Right.
How tall is he? And he's kind of, I'm not going to say he's Slim Jim like you did with Forbes, but he's more, what would the word be? Like angular. Like
he's lean.
Like Danielle Hunter in Minnesota is kind of that
tall, good comparison.
Lanky.
You know all of Kurt's teammates. I like that.
Yeah, I do. But that's when I looked at him.
Great
I'm
comparison.
Like, that's kind of the body type he has.
Yeah, athletic, but even more so than what he brings there is his attitude. He is. You know how we could talk with Dexter?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I had dinner. I told him. I said, let me tell you something. I mean, he don't back. I'll tell you, and then in practice, man, he's making moves. He's gutting. He's that guy. Now he's got to stay healthy, and things just got to go his way. It's just like when we're talking about their linebackers, and I told you that I'm a big Cody Barton guy.
Yeah,
because I saw his work in Seattle. Anybody that can play for Pete Carroll, can play for me. I mean, because his approach to football is like Harbaugh's. I love these guys that get fined every year in camp and do it because they don't give a damn about – they understand there's only one way to build that callus, develop that mindset. Khalik Hudson, oh, my God, another guy. He don't need AAA. You get a problem, call me. I'll come pick you up. Because I just adore the way he plays the game. They come after you, man. It's like the guys that you may not hear a lot about them because, again, you just may not. But Efe Obada,
yeah,
you get in a problem jam, just call me. I'm coming. I'm coming to get you.
That's your thing right now. You're going to be – I mean, you're going to have your own Uber service.
No, I'm just telling you. James Smith Williams, yeah, he's on it. I can give you all the list of the guys I pick up. They call me 4 a.m. in the morning, need a ride, I got you. Because they come to play. They can play three technique. They can go outside. They're not zeroed into one positional thing they can do. They can do whatever. They're football players.
Right.
Put them in whatever. And they don't care. They don't care about nothing other than succeeding, playing hard. Very seldom are they on the injured list. They play special. They're just football players.
Right.
And I'm so happy that we have those kind of guys. And I just hope that they get to be celebrated and get to win here and not be constantly in the news for everything other than their performance.
Amen to that. All right, last one.
Thank you.
Because I haven't talked to you about this, but as a Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12 guy, having had a storied career at UCLA, which included a Rose Bowl win, what do you make of the Pac-12 disintegrating?
Progress.
What do you mean
you
progress?
You got to go with the money. Well, you can't be on at midnight. In other words, the nitwit that came up with this after dark crap should be...
I loved it.
But yeah, you loved it because you're nocturnal. And you got a great producer. You got a staff.
Oh,
you can
wake
up
big
5 minutes
staff.
Before your show
big
and
staff.
You got it
yeah,
going.
Just roll in yeah, 5 minutes
yeah,
before.
So
yeah.
You got, look. It's okay.
Yeah.
I know you don't like the public to know. That's okay.
Uh-huh.
Let me take that back. Let me track that. He doesn't have a staff. He doesn't have a staff.
Yeah.
Look, man, I love waiting to see Tennessee, Alabama.
Answer the question. How do you feel as a longtime
Pac-12
guy?
I was Pac-8.
It's over. This is the last year, and you'll never have that league anymore. Good. Great. Okay.
Because AFL went to the end. No, it's progress. What do you want them to do?
Progress is 110
Nobody's
years.
Watching. You own the game. You're playing at midnight. Come on, man.
Not always.
Bad deal.
You know, it was one of my favorite things when back in the day when, you know, you'd only have like one or two games on TV a week and you'd have the early game and the late game would be something out of the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl and it was cold and dark on the East Coast and it was bright and sunny on the West Coast. I love those games. Look, it was changing for you anyway because UCLA was, you know, headed to the Big Ten. And we'll be in the same conference together for the first time.
When you say we,
Maryland.
Who are you for? Are you Penn State? Oh, you're Maryland. Okay.
What do you
mean? I get confused.
Who am I? What do you? Who?
Because you represent
what kind of
so many
that?
different. Oh. Well, you.
Let me ask you something. How long have I known
you
for? Almost 20 years.
I know.
What thing am I most passionate about?
Terps, basketball.
Okay, so asking me which team.
I know. I had to mess with you. I take that back.
Yeah.
I apologize for that. That was really slanderous because you're very clear with your allegiance, although I was right. You wanted to stay in the ACC. I said, no, Slim. You got to go to the big time. Mm. And now you haven't thanked me officially yet, but you will. In about a year and a half, you will.
All right. Thank you. I thank you all the time for everything. I get...
No,
I read your threads.
I know people are constantly requesting more of us. And I go, look, I can't make him ask me to come on. They keep asking me, how come you're not on? Look, he makes all the decisions. And I'm the emergency guy. break glass, you know, when needed, and then I'm there. Slim. And no problem. But I just wanted your public to know it ain't me. Okay, I'm always available to be a part of the Sheehan Show. So
you are.
That's the way it goes.
You are, and it's much appreciated as always. Slim Jim Pitbull, Emmanuel Forbes, number 13. He is a bulldog for sure.
You're getting there.
Doc Walker's podcast, he's got his own, which is one of the reasons I don't ask him to come on this one all the time, because he's got his own. By the way, I haven't been on his podcast in over a year.
I wouldn't
Never
dare.
Asks me to go on his podcast.
Okay, now let's go full disclosure.
Okay.
You do AM talk.
Yeah.
And I tape 7:30 in the morning.
Well, I could
and
do.
You,
I'm up. Well, I'm, no, I'm up you, 2 you, hours before that.
No, you were always on the air.
I'm not
your
anymore.
Drive time host.
Haven't been for 4 months.
I get, but you're prepping and you've got all.
No.
Everybody knows. Look, everybody knows the deal. All right. I just love listening to when you do your sponsor list. I am so proud of you. When you start saying when you give the credits out, I just go wow. I knew him when he just had one.
Okay.
And now,
all right,
now he's
Patreon.com/DocWalker. One of these days, I'll get the invite to go on with Solly and
Doc.
Yeah,
well, you know what? You did come on, came on the show on the weekend. I hate to bug you.
It was like a year and a half ago.
No. That was because the podcast is hard for you. But the show, you came on Saturday.
I'll go on a couple weeks ago. I'll go on with you whenever you ask me to come on.
I know you're playing golf. The last thing I want to do is take you off golf or you're playing. What's the new thing you're playing now? Paddleball?
It's not pickleball, which I'm not.
Pickleball.
I'm not
so
playing.
You got pickleball,
I'm not
you got golf, you got so much stuff that you do. But anyway.
All right.
Give my best to your lovely family and tell the boys it's not me. That's avoiding them is you not allowing me access.
They're not in town anymore. I mean, you know, they're doing their own thing.
You never get used to it. It's not fun.
I know. You've got the same situation with your three boys.
It's not fun.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right, good deal, man. Appreciate you. Bye. Bye.
All right, later. Thanks. I'll holler at you later.
Later, man.
I'm going to get this thing out. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I'm going to finish up with Hard Knocks. I watched episode 2 last night. I've seen both of those episodes. And there was an incredible rant from the head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh, that I will play for you. I also have a constructive criticism of the show. We'll finish up that way next, right after these words from a few of our sponsors.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This final segment of the show brought to you by our good friends at Shelly's Back Room. You might be looking for a place to have a cigar when you make your way to Shelly's Back Room at 1331 F Street Northwest in D.C. You would certainly be in the right place if that's where you went, but you might be surprised to learn that you would also find one of the great food menus in the city. Lobster bisque for an appetizer, bacon-wrapped shrimp for dinner, key lime pie. It's good, too, for dessert. Just a few of the other choices coming out of one of the best kitchens you'll find in the district. A good meal and a good cigar, the good life. Find out more at Shelley's Back Room, 1331 F Street, Northwest. So I am watching Hard Knocks. I've watched the first two episodes. The Jets, Aaron Rodgers. I haven't watched a lot of Hard Knocks in recent years. But I've watched the first two episodes, but I don't know if I can watch anymore. The praise, the over-the-top praise of Aaron Rodgers from everybody, coaches, players, staff, it's just one constant suckfest of Aaron Rodgers. It's embarrassing. I give HBO some of the blame because, you know, they're miking up a lot of the different players in different areas, and they're choosing to have 40 to 50% of the first two episodes be about how much they love Aaron Rodgers and about how he's doing things that just they've never seen before. Oh, my God, did you see eight make that throw? Do you see? And then they're showing play fakes in the quarterback room, and they're showing Aaron Rodgers and putting them side by side. Which one's going to be the pass? Which one's going to be the handoff? Because they're just so great. It's over the top. I have to think that HBO is getting some pushback on just the Aaron Rodgers love fest. It's a bit too much. Now, something that did come out of last night's episode was Robert Saleh, the head coach of the New York Jets. They had joint practices last week with the Carolina Panthers. And this was him talking about his offense, but specifically his offensive line. And for the purposes of the podcast, I don't know if I'm going to beep out all the F-bombs. I'll make that choice in what we call post-production. But here's what Saleh said.
Guys, it was our first f***ing opportunity to change the stink that's been in this organization for a very long time on the offensive side of the ball. You can have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You can have two $10 million plus receivers. You can have a reigning offensive rookie of the year. You can have all kinds of skill in the running back room. None of it f***ing matters until the big boys up front change who the f*** we are. We as coaches, we as an organization can't want it more than you. And I'm watching that tape all night last night trying to find something to show that we're f***ing changing, and it didn't show, and it was our first op. And I'd love to say we got another practice, but you know what? It's like Sunday. You don't get Monday morning to go redo. It's getting your mind right to represent who the f*** you are every single f***ing time you are on the f***ing field.
Not happy is the head coach about the offensive line play. Talking about the stink of the offense for so long. And regardless of Hall of Fame quarterback, $10 million receivers, offensive rookie of the year, a really good running back room. It doesn't matter if the boys up front can't do their job. Now, what's interesting about this rant that appeared last night on Hard Knocks, a few things. Number one is the Jets had a joint practice last week with the Panthers, and they've got a joint practice this week with Tampa Bay. Washington just had, you know, the 2 days with Baltimore, but the Jets had two different joint practices or two different teams that they joint practiced with. But today there were six sacks and numerous pressures that the Buccaneers put on the New York Jets offensively, to which Aaron Rodgers insisted that his concern about the offensive line is, quote, pretty low, close quote. He didn't give the famous relax line from a few years ago. He preached patience and suggested that the pass protection issues will get resolved once the starting five is set. But man, on Hard Knocks, you picked up the head coach talking about that offensive line. And other than the Hall of Fame quarterback difference, that could have been Eric Bieniemy or Ron Rivera talking maybe about Washington's offensive line. Aaron Rodgers has had, at times in the past in Green Bay, average offensive lines. In fact, the year they won the Super Bowl, their offensive line was very banged up and injured. And I don't know if he can overcome a terrible offensive line. It is their weakness, at least on paper, going into the season. The Jets' weakness is their offensive line. Remember, they wanted to draft Broderick Jones out of Georgia, but couldn't because the Steelers jumped in front of them, traded with New England, picked Broderick Jones, and they then selected Will McDonald, defensive end pass rusher out of Iowa State, who, according to Hard Knocks, has had a pretty good showing in camp so far. But, man, that was getting after your offensive line in a big way after a joint practice with the Panthers last week. Now, in their preseason game, the Jets have played, remember, two preseason games so far because they were in the Hall of Fame game against the Browns. In that game, they gave up a total of one sack. Zach Wilson got sacked in that game once. In their second preseason game, the one against the Panthers, when he got after his team after the joint practice, they also only gave up one sack. By the way, you know who, just completely off topic, kind of off topic, you know who's actually played well in his first two preseason games? Because Aaron Rodgers has not taken a snap in a preseason game as of yet, is last year's whipping boy, Zach Wilson. He so far is 17 of 25 in the first two preseason games for a total of 188 yards, a touchdown, no picks. He's actually looked pretty good. And there is some discussion just from Jets fans that and Jets media that Zach Wilson is really benefiting from Aaron Rodgers being in the quarterback room. But the Jets, look, you know, they got to face some big-time defenses, you know, on their schedule. You know, just in the AFC East alone, don't forget that Miami's defense was good to begin with, right? And they added Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator. So you've got them twice on your schedule. You've got Buffalo's defense, although, you know, they seem to be, you know, searching for sure. They, you know, Leslie Frazier moved on. Sean McDermott's going to call the defensive signals. And then New England had one of the best defenses in the league last year. And they should be really good defensively again. So the Jets are going to have... I love the Jets this year. I'm not coming off my thought that the Jets can compete for the AFC title, certainly the AFC East title. But they open up with the Bills, Cowboys, Patriots, Chiefs. All right? Those are three of those four teams were top five, top six in defense last year. So they better get their offensive line situation straightened out. All right, that's it for the day. I'll be back tomorrow.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.